2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Dispatch brought to you by FantasyFootballEvolution.com. Go there for your chance to win $25,000 in their World Football Championships. Use the promo code BOOMERSDADDY for free credits towards your lineups. Once again, FantasyFootballEvolution.com. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. Find my co-host, Keith Hall, as always, on Twitter at BoomersDFSDaddy. We'll go with the one big announcement. We'll BS about the other stuff later. But folks, for all of our DFS Army members, the time is now. The Domination Station is up and running in beta mode. So make sure you go there if you haven't seen any of the Slack chat messages yet today and check out everything that we got going on there. You guys know how much DS killed it for football and for NBA season. So bringing Keith right now, probably the one of the main guys on the operation of this Domination Station. So what are you most excited for the people to find out about?
The unique stacking features. If you use, and I'm not going to name other names or companies because I'm just not that type of person. If you have used other optimizers for MLB, you have noticed that it is very, very hard to get the exact stacks that you want unless you know how to absolutely do it and you have a degree in back-end coding and a doctorate in lineup building and math and all this other crap. I've made it very, very, very simple for everybody. If you want 4v4 stacks on FanDuel, you click 4. And then you go to the other drop-down box, you click 4, and boom, there you go. And you just start playing. It is live. It is in beta mode.
Real and spectacular.
It is ready to go. We're still working on some speed, evidently. We announced it in Slack, and everybody decided that they wanted to go check it out at the exact same time. This will update throughout the day. It will have a checkbox that has a confirmed where they are in the batting order, the money line, the salary, the fantasy points per dollar, the DFSA points. The DFSA grades will be input a little bit later. The fantasy points that are adjustable. So if you want to add in more, if Carlos Carrasco is not showing up in enough lineups through the default settings that you have, you can bump his projection and force him in a little bit more. It is absolutely, it's unlike anything that we've ever seen before. And, you know, it's, if you're around an NBA, one of the biggest things was, is you couldn't, click off of a team name. You know, if you wanted to disclude the New York Mets tonight, you can click on them and they will disappear. So it is, it's kind of nice. You can click off the game, you can click, and it's amazing. It took me, I would say, about a month to get everything to where I wanted it, as far as, you know, specific features that I wanted to make available, and I tried to keep it as simple as possible, and I think that our dev team has absolutely crushed it with this. Now I just have to get the back-end model all figured out and get going. So
very nice. Right now, I don't want to, you know, make any excuses if the DS doesn't work, but you know, this is a new product that we are putting out there. And, you know, since we are coming towards the end of baseball season, do you feel like this is more of a like a preview for things to come next season, or do you feel confident that this thing's going to kick some ass starting today?
I feel confident because our projections have been kicking ass. And they're going to be the same projections. The projections and the DFSA grades themselves are not changing. What is changing is the way to build the lineups going into it now. There are two different modes. You can have a optimal mode, which is for cash, where it does not force any stacks in. You can click if you don't want anybody below the sixth spot in the batting order to show up. You can click off the 7, 8, 9, and it will only put in hitters 1 through 6. The actual numbers behind it are not changing. They're the same numbers we've been using most of the year. Now it's just the actual lineup building is available for all of our members instead of, you know, them using their knowledge on how to construct lineups. The actual tool is in beta mode. The numbers are not. The numbers are going to be as solid as they have been all season.
Very good. Very good. All right. Well, all that's very exciting. If you have any questions and you are a member of the DFS Army, obviously you can, just ask Keith or Kevin in the Slack chat channel. And, obviously the answers get the questions get responded to immediately over there. And again, if you're not a member of the DFS Army, make sure you check us out, DFSArmy.com. All those free samplings that we had in July and August the beginning of August are all gone and done away with. Now you got to pay to get this info. But again, what you have to pay is really nothing compared to these other sites. And, the information that you get is just the same, if not and or better. So definitely check us out, DFSArmy.com. We had our Mods League Fantasy Draft last night. Always a good time. And I was fortunate enough to have that Odell Beckham injury happen during the game last night. Ended up falling to me at 9. Because everybody wasn't really too sure. Other than that, though, everything was good. We had the Discord channel going on, busting balls with every single pick. How you feeling about your team going into this year?
Oh, I mean, I have David Johnson and Aaron Rodgers, so.
That is true. I forgot about that. Yes, yes.
So Odell didn't fall to me because he was not going to, no matter, unless I had like the first and the fifth and the 12th pick, he was not going to fall to me. Damn. So that's kind of how I've done it. So I like it. I am slated to go 11-2, which is a vast turnaround from where I was last year at 1-12 or whatever it was. I kind of like it.
Very cool. All right, so we got that going on. Obviously, we'll be keeping track of that as the season goes along. But this is the MLB Daily Dispatch, so let's get into this full slate. It's actually a 14-game slate since the back end of the Phillies-Marlins doubleheader is not on the main slate. But that's okay. We got plenty of other options to go to. Starting it out with the pitchers, as always. Now, I, of course, am tinkering around with the Domination Station before we hopped on here. But if you did 10 optimal lineups with 3 uniques, the pitcher that showed up in all of those is Jeff Samardzija. But
well, that's – hold on. Okay. Part of that is because of the fact that Chris Archer is not showing up and because of the team abbreviations. So okay. That is why.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
Chris Archer is the highest projected pitcher on the slate today.
Yes, he is. Now, we'll say back on June 5th, Jeffy Samardzija faced these same Milwaukee Brewers at Miller Park. Ended up going 7 2/3 innings, 10 strikeouts against the Brewers. I'm looking for more of that tonight. The Brewers have the highest K rate in almost every single split of baseball this season. And he's certainly going to get the backdrop of AT&T Park, which pitchers love. Again, do you like him over Archer, or how are you feeling about Samardzija here today?
I mean, I think the upside's kind of similar, just because of the fact that if you sit there and look at it, obviously we know that the Brewers strike out a lot, but so do the Blue Jays. It's they've got a similar wOBA versus right-handed pitching. The issue I have with Chris Archer is the hard contact has skyrocketed over the last six to eight starts. The swinging strike rate is higher, but the walk rate's higher as well. They're very, very similar pitchers as far as upside is concerned. Their Sierra is both right there at 3.4 and 3.5 tonight. It's very, very, very interesting. Now, the other part that you have to – they each have pros, they each have cons, because the con to this is the fact that I would say that the Rays have a better chance to actually win the game outright.
Okay.
Just because of the quality of the pitcher that they're facing. Jimmy Nelson has shown that he has the ability to go out there and dominate. And he's actually got a lower Sierra than Jeff Samardzija does. But it just, I don't know. It's a tough one for me. If I was going based off of dollar per point, I would say it would be Samardzija probably.
Right.
But if I'm looking at ownership, I think the fact that Chris Archer has had some issues, maybe not, you know, major issues, but had some issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he's seen the Blue Jays just his last start, it could lower make his ownership a little bit higher than what I want to pay.
Well, here's what Archer against the Jays. He's faced them four times this season. 2.89 ERA, has not factored in the decision in all four of those starts. Does have 34 strikeouts in 28 innings against the Blue Jays this season. But you're right, in that last start, you know, it was against the Blue Jays. You know, the big thing for Archer too is he's usually been pretty dominant at home, and that really hasn't been the case of late. He's still overall on the season though, 3-4. An ERA there in the mid threes. Typically this is where he's dominant. So lately he's just kind of been, he's getting by. He's getting by on the strikeouts, but he's given up the hard contact that you mentioned. Things just aren't going his way necessarily. So for all that money, it would appear that Samardzija would be the better dollar per point play there. And again, too, he doesn't face the Brewers anywhere near as often as these Blue Jays. I mean, as the Blue Jays face Archer. I mean, this is going to be the fifth time Archer's facing this Toronto team. It's a couple guys with decent numbers. It's basically what the Blue Jays are, you know, the numbers against Archer. You know, guys that can hit home runs, but are also going to strike out. So you certainly have that predicament to deal with. However, though, there are a couple good other pitchers that we could take a look at today. You mentioned Jimmy Nelson. I like him today. I'm not enthralled with the strikeout possibilities that that he's going to have up against the Giants today. I don't think that really makes him that great, but he can pitch a nice performance. The two guys I'm looking at, though, today, we'll see if we agree here. I like Charlie Morton against the Nationals and Patrick Corbin against the Mets. Any thoughts
on
those guys?
You like Patrick Corbin. Okay. Yeah. I was like, wait a second, what? Why do you like Corbin? But I realized he was going against the Mets. Right. I don't mind that at all. He's on my, I don't want to say short list, but he is on my short list.
mini list.
And you said, who was your other one?
Charlie Morton.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let me explain the Morton first,
please
right?
Do.
So he's got pretty good numbers against current members of the Nationals. The only ones with good numbers against him, Stephen Drew, Bryce Harper, Jason Worth, all of them on the DL. And again, too, remember, he's a reverse splits guy. He's very good against lefties. The Nationals have plenty of lefties out there that they're probably going to put up against Morton. Not sure if Dusty Baker is a big splits guy, but again, this is one that we'll have to wait and see the lineup on. But also, Morton, 7-2, 3.45 ERA in 12 starts at Minute Maid Park this season. I do like that part. Again, it'll be a wait-and-see thing with the Nats lineup to see how that goes. And then with Patrick Corbin, 9 quality starts over his last 13 outings. In particular, over his last 3 outings, he's been lights out. 25 strikeouts in 21 and one-third of an inning while only allowing 3 earned runs. in those three starts, including the last two starts, he hasn't allowed any runs at all. So, again, we're talking about the Mets, the team that has the fourth highest strikeout rate over the last 30 days. Ah, Paddy Corbs, man. Gotta love it. And he's going head-to-head against Tommy Malone, which gives him a great chance to get this win tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really, really hard to not like not only Patrick Corbin, but the Diamondbacks offense today. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen it. They're not good on the road as far as their hitting. It's kind of like the Coors Field effect, I guess is what you would call it, except you would call it the Chase Field effect. But it's still Tommy Malone. He's still not a good pitcher, and I have a lot of interest in Diamondbacks today, on both sides of the ball. Not as good
with the bat as he used to be.
No, obviously not. With Paddy Corbs and. There's a lot of it. This is actually one of the more loaded pitcher slates as far as, you know, quote unquote matchups are concerned that I've seen in a while. I mean, you've got 10 pitchers that have under a 4 Sierra today, and Clayton Richard against the Cardinals isn't far behind at a 4.17. So, there's a lot of good options. I think this is a great, great time to, play some good matchups. And obviously get creative in tournaments if you can.
Sure. All right. Any bottom of the barrel guys you're thinking about tonight?
Abaldo against the Athletics is interesting just because of the fact that we know with Abaldo, he can go out there and he can throw 7 innings of 1-run baseball and get you 6 strikeouts, or it can blow up.
Right.
And, you know, it's not as good of a matchup. We kind of overlooked Wade Miley last night, and we shouldn't have because we forgot to realize that the Oakland Athletics are the worst team in baseball versus left-handed pitching. And that's not just in the last 30 days. That's all season long. So we forgot that little nugget. And it kind of cost us going to Tyler Skaggs, but I still say Skaggs was the right play.
Sure. Got no disagreement from either. In addition, with Abaldo Jimenez, you know that he had that streak of 4 games where he had at least 38 FanDuel points. That got snapped in that last start in Seattle, but, you know, there were a couple guys there that had some good BVP against him. Not going to worry about it too much. In that last start against the A's, though, he did have 11 strikeouts in 5 1/3 of an inning. That's over 2 per inning, folks. So that's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
Thank you.
Bottom of the barrel, Lucas Giolito's got some talent, and Minnesota's not as good versus right-handed pitching as they are left-handed pitching. You know, he doesn't grade out well, but those are last year's numbers. The Twins are actually hit right-handed pitching pretty well. Chris Rowley versus the Rays has got a pretty good matchup, and it looks like he's actually done pretty well. 10 innings and only allowed 3 earned runs. I want to call it the Sky Dome, the Rogers Center is not a bad idea. I don't trust the Dodgers and Brock Stewart. I'm sorry.
Let me throw a name out here for you. Now, you mentioned Chris Rowley, former Army soldier, so obviously got a feel-good story there. But Kyle Gibson against the White Sox tonight. Now, Gibson has good numbers against the members of the White Sox that are still there. So that's against Abreu, against Abisail Garcia. Got that. Much better numbers on the road, even though they're not that great. But again, Gibson, he's a guy that, you know, will pop up with a good performance every now and again. The only reason I would go with him is to fit bats into your lineup. But again, it's pretty risky. But again, Kyle Gibson's a guy that has shown the upside before. And, you know, you look at his a couple of these starts, right? We're going to say 12 against the Indians, 23 against the Tigers. Now, these are all FanDuel points, by the way. 19 against Texas, 38 against the Tigers. He had a 36 against the Angels. These performances are possible. I'm going to say if I had to guess, Gibson would finish with maybe 25 points tonight. And, you know, anything that you get other than that, it's your lucky day. I would go out and play the lottery afterwards. But, again, this is bottom of the barrel we're talking about, folks.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would almost rather go with Matt Boyd. He's got a little bit better numbers as far as they're very comparable, but they're a tick better as far as the K percentage. He doesn't get quite as many ground balls, but he does produce a lot of soft contact than Kyle Gibson does. And I mean, we're talking percentage points difference in the matchup. So,
okay. All right. That should do it for pitchers, unless you got anything else.
No, I don't. It wouldn't be a podcast if I didn't plug John Gray. he normally is a lot better at home than on the road, but he has performed pretty well on the road, other than that Miami start, where he was an out short of a quality start and didn't have as many strikeouts. The issue I have with John Gray right now is that he's pitching a lot more efficiently, which is limiting his upside. He's not striking out guys like we saw him last year. He's hovering right around that 5-6 mark, and pitching and trying to pitch deeper into games, which is good for a team standpoint. And that's kind of what's limited his price from skyrocketing up there. But he does have the ability to go out and, absolutely, you know, have a very, very, very good game. It's not a good matchup, but he's going to be low owned in tournaments. I can promise you that.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. Let's talk about, there's two games. You know, typically we go into the stacks after the pitchers, but I want to talk about two game stacks that we could possibly go with tonight. If you're doing deep GPPs. So one's an obvious one. We've got the Cubs against the Reds, John Lackey for the Cubs, Homer Bailey going for the Reds. I mean, you know, the splits against Bailey this season are pretty goddamn comical, especially right-handed bats, hitting .397 against him this year. From the left side, no slouch either, hitting .306. All that's fine and dandy. But here's the other one. From the Reds side of things, you got seven of their regular starters have at least a .290 batting average against John Lackey over the course of their careers. We just saw this matchup, I believe it was last week. This wasn't the 21 run game. This was I believe it was 7-6, but again, at Great American Ballpark, we could certainly see a lot more of these balls fly out. So, I don't know. What do you think here?
I don't know. I'm very, very torn on it. Sell me a little bit.
I just did. Damn it.
No, sell me. You're going to have to sell me more to be able to really, really agree with you on this one, because
Homer Bailey's got the whip over two this season, 53.1 innings. Again, I think both of these sides just have good numbers. Again, I mean, especially the Reds against Lackey, there's more evidence that we have there that he does well against them. Now, Bailey hasn't necessarily faced the Cubs that much over the course of his career, but a couple of these guys have some good numbers. John Jay, Anthony Rizzo. But again, it's Homer Bailey. You know, I mean, sure, he's had a couple of these good starts. Yeah, and it's funny that his good starts have been against the good teams, but certainly wasn't against the Cubs the last time out.
The problem I have with John Lackey, Okay, let me ask you two questions. One, do you think that Cincinnati players are going to be popular on a 14-game slate? Because it is John Lackey?
Probably not.
Okay, because they tagged him for 5 earned runs in their first meeting in Cincinnati this year.
Okay.
But the last 2 meetings, he's allowed 3 earned runs and 1 earned run. Now, only one of those times did he get the quality start, and he's only gotten 1 win through against them this season. So, yeah, he might have good numbers against these guys individually, but they're stringing enough hits together.
The Reds have good numbers against Lackey.
Okay, I misunderstood you then.
Yeah, the main stat that I said there was 7 of the Reds' regular starters have a .290 batting average against Lackey, or I'm sorry, have at least a .290 batting average against Lackey over the course of their careers.
Okay. Yeah, I misunderstood you then.
I think two of those guys were in the .290s, and then the other 5 were hitting .300 or better against Lackey. So we got a 10 total on the game. We're at Great American Ballpark. I think that should do fine. Now, the sneakier one of these, the Mariners at the Braves tonight. You got Marco Gonzalez going for the Mariners. Lucas Sims going for the Braves. Marco Gonzalez, the lefty, Sims, the righty. We got a total of 10.5 in this one. But, again, we got a little taste of the offense, not explosion, a little burst, we'll call it, 6-5 game. But, again, I think the two of these teams can get right back at it tonight.
Okay.
I mean, we got a great ballpark for the teams to hit in. No Nelly Cruz last night for the Mariners. I'm sure he'll be back tonight. It does suck that the Mariners are losing their DH, but I believe they'll find a way to overcome, and this should be one of the higher scoring games of the night.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. here's the issue is
sure.
we've got a total that's actually higher than that.
We do.
And
but again, I kind of like – well, we're talking about the A's-Orioles game. Mm-hmm. I kind of like both of the pitchers in that game. I don't think they're going to get totally blown up, but I don't see that game being an 11.
I don't either, unless a lot of it comes from the Baltimore side of things.
Yeah, Blackburn is going for the A's. Like, he's not a guy that really gets roughed up. I mean – He's pitched some pretty good games before this season, so I think
Before this season, before this game, you mean? Because he's a rookie.
I didn't say yeah. I said he's pitched some good games before.
Yeah, like, but you said this season, so. Oh, okay. I get what you're saying. Sorry, right. It's been one of those mornings, and after being one of those nights.
All good.
I did not get a lot of sleep last night, so.
Fair enough. I know the feeling. I do. So, yeah, now for all my betting friends out there, the under might not be a bad way to go in that Baltimore-Oakland game. I know it's betting the under in baseball is like, wishing for something magical to happen, but I think that this is a pretty good spot for both pitchers. A sneaky one. Let's talk about some individual team stacks that we got going on here. I wrote them down alphabetically, but we already talked about the Diamondbacks against Tommy Malone. Headlined by Death Taxes and JD Martinez against the lefty.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be fun. I like your guys tonight, actually, going up against Danny Duffy. We know that the Rockies have really good numbers against left-handed pitching. So that could be a very sneaky way to go. I really don't think anybody's going to be going that route.
Yeah, I don't think anybody is either.
And your boys get the DH going to the AL Park.
And they're one of the very, very few NL teams that can actually, throw out a legit DH out there.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to throw out a guy like, Alexi Amarista, although they might. They might play because of the matchup, in tomorrow's game, but not in today's game, going against the lefty. It's going to be probably a guy like Pat Valaika. It could be, let's see here. What's the lineups page got? They've got Pat Valaika going in there. They could throw out, Gerardo Parra and Carlos Gonzalez. There's not a lot of BVP to go off of here. I mean, the most that anybody has against him is Jonathan Lucroy, and that's 6 at-bats. DJ LeMay, who has 6 at-bats as well, but, you know, that's not a lot of, you know, history. So I don't think you have to worry about that. And the only player that's faced Jonathan Gray has been Brandon Moss. But yeah, I mean, I like, obviously Nolan, Charlie, Gerardo Parra has actually put some pretty good numbers versus left-handed pitching up, since he's come off the DL. You know, Trevor Story, he's 2.5K. He's got some cheap pop. You know, Pat Valaika is 2.3K. You can go with either one of those and, you know, do a nice little wraparound. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, versus left-handed pitching, these guys are not – they're no slouch. 364 wOBA, 255 ISO, 23% strikeout rate versus left-handed pitching over the last 30 days. So they could strike out, but Duffy's not been the strikeout artist that he was last season. Only 21% compared to the 25-plus that he was last season.
All right. Now, at the end of last night's Angels-Rangers game, I don't know if you watched it, but the Angels were just putting guys all over the base pass, just could not get that big hit to knock the rest of these guys in and take the big lead. Now, tonight, they have a matchup against Tyson Ross, and Ross had a couple nice outings to, you know, begin the season and his stint with the Texas Rangers, but he's allowed 15 walks in his last 13 and two-thirds innings. You know me, I love picking on these guys that give up a lot of walks. That's a lot of opportunities on base for the other guys in the order. This could be a nice night here for the Angels, and they've been hot lately.
Yeah, especially since you consider the fact that not only do they walk a lot, but they don't strike out a lot.
Yeah.
So now you talk about a team that – or a pitcher that's going to walk a bunch of people – compare that or add that to the fact that the Angels are going to put the ball in play against a guy that, let's see here, currently on this season only has a 6% swing and strike rate and a 15.7% K percentage.
Oh, my.
I'm not shy about throwing some Angel stacks in there. I don't care if they're ambidextrous and they're hitting the top or bottom or – you know, whatever. if they're in the Angels lineup, they have interest for me tonight.
I dig. All right. The other one I had now, he's been pitching much better of late, but Clayton Richard goes up against the Cardinals tonight. We know the Cardinals have a ton of right-handed batters that they could put out there against the lefty Richard tonight.
In baseball right now.
Indeed. So we look at the splits here against Richard. Now, lefties are hitting 325 against Richard, but, you know, not much power going on there. Only 7 extra base hits in 161 plate appearances. However, in 505 plate appearances against righties have 505 plate appearances against Richard this season. 57 extra base hits, 18 of those being home runs. I mean, the OPS for righties, 0.884. There. I mean, look, Richard, he's done better lately. I get it. But this is a guy that was given up. I believe he gave up double-digit hits in 3 straight starts. Again, we take a look at this. Most of this Cardinals lineup is going to be righties, probably with the exception of Matt Carpenter, who actually has pretty good BVP short-term against Richard. But, again, this is a spot where we're probably going to see a ton of Cardinals on base tonight.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on that. There's not a lot that I'm disagreeing with you on. I do want to throw another one out there, though.
Yeah, sure.
The Cleveland Indians versus Doug Fister.
Ah, yes.
I think that they're going to go a little bit lower owned than normal just because they don't have – I mean, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams over a implied run total of 5. Now, currently, their implied run total has dropped 0.3 runs. But with that said, you're talking about them dropping and still getting a 5. So yeah, I like it. So
yeah, don't mind that at all. You might have the Yankees. I didn't write them down, but you're probably going to see the Yankees be popular tonight against Matt Boyd. You got Aaron Judge. Gary Sanchez both popping up on the domination station. Yeah, I don't mind Aaron Hicks in the spot either. I think Tyler Austin's a guy, too, that's going to be pretty cheap at first base we could probably play. He's been hitting very well since getting recalled to the big league club. So those are guys I don't mind. But back to your Cleveland play. Didn't Pfister had a pretty good performance against them the last time, right?
I know. That's exactly why I like him.
Yes, me too, Because I know people are going to see that and be like, all right, now we got you, Doug. We got you, Doug, all right?
Yeah. And that's exactly why, you know, if you look at – oh, crud. Sorry. I forgot that I didn't update the BVP tab in the lineups page. So I went to go look at it, and I was like, Cole Hamels, he's not pitching today.
He's going back-to-back. That's impressive.
No kidding. But, no, if you go look at the lineups page and you look at the BVP and stuff, I mean, you've got some pretty significant BVP for some of these Blue Jays bats against Chris Archer, at least for power anyways. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got Jose Bautista that's tagged him three times. You got Kendrys Morales that's tagged him twice with seven extra base hits and an average exit velocity of 100.9 miles an hour. He's hitting a clean 560 against Chris Archer.
Wow.
In 25 at-bats.
Good. Good to hear.
So you got Justin Smoke, who's tagged him once, and Steve Pierce, who's got him twice. So I'm not saying that you are, and can't forget Josh Donaldson, too. I'm sorry. I'm not saying that you should stack the Blue Jays, but it just gives you an example of these interdivisional these interdivisional rivalries games that we have that are honestly the last month and a half of the season. A lot of these games are going to be in the division and numbers like this are going to start to take a lot more weight because they face each other 19 times throughout the season.
But yeah, not only that, you got to think too, pitchers' arms probably wearing down, getting a little more fatigued. Earlier in the season, you get more exposure to them, so all works out. All right, let's get into the positional breakdown that we always do as well with the bats. Let's start out with the catcher position. Who's popping out to you there today?
Catcher was one of my favorite positions yesterday. It is not today. I mean, you got Gary Sanchez going against Matt Boyd. Obviously he's going to be, well, maybe not because I was pretty off on last time I said he was going to be higher owned. You know, he wasn't. I think Yadi going against Clayton Richard is a pretty good one. Although his price is up there, I don't know if I'm comfortable playing $3,500 for Yadi on FanDuel, when he's the same price on DraftKings. Wait, no, he's not. That is my fault. I'm such an idiot.
Well, yeah, but don't beat yourself up, bro.
Yeah, well.
All right.
Yeah.
Let me throw a name out there at you. Wilson Ramos, actually hitting pretty well lately. 10 of 17 with two extra base hits and a homer over his last five games. Not bad for that guy. Guy who actually had him on Friday night. He hit a couple scorching hot balls, only managed to get singles out of them. But apparently stats are not lined with Ramos, and he is on fire. And also could get some sneaky exposure to a Diamondbacks upside tonight if Chris Iannetta is behind the plate. 5-for-14 in his career against Malone. But
Jeff Mathis took a ball off the hand yesterday.
Okay.
So I expect it to be Chris Iannetta or Chris Hermann behind the plate today. So.
Gotta be Iannetta with the righty on lefty.
Yeah, I would think so.
Better be, man. And then you handle Corbin well too. All right. Sounds good. Any other catchers?
Alex Avila against Homer Bailey.
Been hot lately.
Yeah, if he's in that lineup. 294 ISO versus right-handed pitching over the last 30 days. He gets that short porch there in Great American Small Park. I still don't mind going back to Mike Zunino. I know he only gave us three yesterday, but I don't mind going there. And Robinson Chirinos. I mean, there's some value at catcher tonight. Not that you're going to need a lot of it, but it is there if you do need it.
Very nice. Very nice. I like it. First baseman. Always, always you, plentiful at the position.
You mentioned him, and he pops off the page with a 650-61 DFSA grade, but Tyler Austin is right there. I mean, you got Goldie going against Tommy Malone. He's been hot. Anthony Rizzo against Homer Bailey.
Reigning NL Player of the Week.
Yes. You know, Joey Votto against John Lackey. I mean, you could go to Mark Reynolds, who's been hitting lefties very, very well after sucking for most of the first half. 579 WOBA, 500 ISO over the last 30 days versus left-handed pitching. I know the ballpark isn't there. Joey Gallo is probably not going to be in that lineup. Him and Matt Bush collided on Sunday. I just found this out as I was rewatching a lot of my Sunday games. But him and Matt Bush collided on Sunday. Matt Bush has a strained MCL, not that that really matters, but Joey Gallo, or both of them, are having concussion-like symptoms. So don't be surprised if he goes on the DL, at least the concussion DL, by the time the lineups get locked. So I'd be surprised if he's in there. Let's see what his history is. Hanley Ramirez has been absolutely just killing the ball lately. He's 1-for-3 with a home run against Carlos Carrasco. There's not a lot of history here. Only 12 at bats for Eduardo Nunez and Mitch Moreland. But as a one-off, a sneaky one-off at a power position, I wouldn't mind that. He's going to be extremely low owned. I think a lot of the Boston Red Sox bats are, as they should be.
Yeah, yeah. With Moreland, who you just mentioned, a lot of good BVP at the position today. Mitch Moreland, 5 of 11, 4 extra base hits, 3 homers against Carrasco. Pretty damn good. Anthony Rizzo, who we mentioned, reigning NL Player of the Week, 8 for 21, 4 extra base hits, 2 homers, and also 6 walks against Bailey. So he sees him very well. Knowing that, speaking of seeing people well, Kendrys Morales, 16 for 28. 9 extra base hits and 3 homers against Chris Archer.
Yep.
Very interesting. And then
I just said that.
Oh, I know. I had to reiterate the fact.
Oh, okay.
another
big BVP guy tonight today. Oh, we'll talk about him a little bit later.
Okay. Also a guy that I really like tonight, Yonder Alonso for the Mariners, going up against the Braves. Had a huge night last night. Still gets that big park upgrade. Great matchup. Everything adds up for him. Good combo for him. And I got Tyler Austin's on the sheet too. I know you mentioned him, so we can.
Yep.
All right, second baseman. Who are we liking there?
I mean, we sat there and we played Ozzy Albies until he kept screwing us and screwing us and screwing us. In the last 3 games, he's absolutely just completely trolled us. I mean, the dude is so raw. Like, I'm not even talking about, like,
his skin.
No, like he had one good game and he had one good game out of 5 games, and then we stopped playing him and he goes off the last 3 games. The dude is raw, but he's got a ton of speed.
Yeah.
And I don't mind going back to the well for him. Especially if you're going to stack the Braves against Marco Gonzalez. He's going to hit, I believe, towards the bottom end of that order. I think he's been hitting the 7 or 8 spot, 6 or 7 spot. We've got him in 7 right now. But the bottom of this Braves lineup is absolutely just popping off the page. Marquez Flowers, Albies, and Dansby Swanson, since he came back up, he's actually played really well hit really well since he's come back up. But make sure that you're not scared off just because he's in the 7 hole tonight.
All right. Let's see. Kano's a guy, a scope guy popping off on the domination station. Very affordable still on FanDuel, 3,500. Remember yesterday I said maybe a trip back home. What do you need to get out of his little funk?
Oh my gosh, dude.
I know a scope. Jason Kipnis still a pretty good value on FanDuel, even though a couple days ago he was at like 2,400 on FanDuel. He's at 3,300, which isn't too bad, but we mentioned we both like the Indians tonight against Doug Fister, a little revenge matchup. Here's one, Brandon Drury. Great matchup against Malone tonight, only 2,500 on FanDuel.
If he's in the lineup.
He better be against the lefty.
I guess against the lefty,
you find a spot for this man. In his last start, which was actually Sunday, he went 3-for-4 with two doubles, a homer. Again, you hope he can have that kind
of
success.
Make no mistake about it. He's got the talent. They want him to be the everyday second baseman. They do not want a platoon because they want to be able to move Daniel Descalzo around and give, guys days off. But right now what they're having to do is play Kettle Marte, because Chris Owings is out. They're having to play Kettle Marte at short and Descalzo.
And Ahmed out.
What's that?
And Ahmed's out.
Yeah. Well, Ahmed's been out for a while, I believe. But Descalzo at second, and they want Brandon Drury because they want to be able to give, Jake Lamb a breather here. They can put Descalzo and Marte both out in the outfield if they need to give one of their guys a breather. They want to be able to do that, and they're not able to right now because of the way that Brandon Drury's kind of hit this year. If he gets hot and he starts getting some consistent at-bats, this is a guy that I think we can ride up the salary train or chain for a while.
Yeah, I'm looking at the numbers right now with Drury. He's actually a better hitter against righties. He's not terrible against lefties, but he doesn't have, that uptick in power that I think –
he's shown it lately, though.
Yeah, and again, I against Malone, I'm not really. I mean, I assume he'll be in there with the righty on lefty, but again, this isn't a matchup where I'm like, oh, well, he's facing a lefty, it's not going to go well. It's Tommy Malone. He should bat him over the head all night long.
Yeah, and the good thing with Drury and his reverse splits, his historic reverse splits, is the fact that he won't get pinch hit for if the.
Yep.
The Mets bring in a righty to face him later on in the game. Now he could if it's like a double switch type thing, but a straight pinch hit for Descalzo, it won't happen, which is good. And I was actually gonna pop off a Yoan Moncada, play versus Kyle Gibson, but I actually kind of like Drury a little bit better. I think Moncada is a good play. Don't get me wrong, but Drury's about $300 cheaper, and at least on FanDuel, on DraftKings, Moncada's cheaper. So that's probably where I would, site play on that one.
Okay.
So, and don't forget, obviously, Rodon Odor versus Ricky Nolasco.
Roogie!
So.
Okay, all right. That it for second baseman? All right, third?
I mean, it's star-studded and loaded at the top. Moustakas, Donaldson, Nolan, Bregman, Chris Bryant,
Machado.
Machado, Justin Turner. Well, Eugenio Suarez, Luis Valbuena. I mean, Rafael Devers. Corey Spangenberg's back down to a reasonable price at $3,100 after that $3,900 fiasco.
My goodness.
Third base is loaded tonight. Adrian Beltre against Ricky Nolasco. He had a grand slam last night against Tyler Skaggs. So it's one of those things. So
I did. You want to get real crazy as part of the D-back stack. I know a lot of people probably, aren't going to like the left-on-left matchup. But I think, Malone's enough of a soft tosser that it doesn't necessarily matter for the left-on-left. So even Jake Lamb, I mean, he's been hitting pretty well lately. So, again, that's just more of a deep GPP play that you can do. But there are two guys did not mention who I think are way underpriced tonight. So we got Kyle Seager He batted cleanup last night, but again, should be batting behind Nelly Cruz tonight. Only 3,200 hitting in that ballpark. That should be a fantastic spot for him. And then Jose Ramirez, he's only got one hit over the last five games, but his price has dropped all the way down to a ridiculously low 3,100. Again, usually when we like the Indians, he's a guy that is always in the middle of that stack. So, I really don't mind him at that price. Probably not going to take that chance, but again, if you're multi-entering and that sort of thing, I like him in there in some pieces.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Yeah, you nailed it right on the head with all these guys at third base tonight, so no need to double tap over them. Shortstops, I believe we got to start out. Mr. Zach Cozart, 7-for-20, 4 extra base hits, 2 homers against John Lackey. Did not check the price, but I'll pay whatever for him in that matchup.
For who?
Zach Cozart.
34 on FanDuel, 43 on DK.
Oh, yeah. I'll take 2.
Yeah.
I'll take
Yeah. Don't forget about Andrelton Simmons.
Okay.
Why do they have him showing up as a San Diego Padre?
Traded.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. All right.
I'll have to fix it. But can't forget about him against Tyson Ross. I mentioned Dansby Swanson. You're going to get low ownership there. Tim Beckham against Paul Blackburn at the top of that Baltimore Orioles lineup has been a catalyst since he's been stuck up there. Mm-hmm. I agree with Zach Cozart. Trevor Story, 450 WOBA, 500 ISO versus left-handed pitching over the last 30 days. Understand it's boom or bust with him. He's going to strike out or he's going to, hit for some pop. I think he's a perfect GPP play for stacking the Rockies. Ahmed Rosario versus Patrick Corbin, I don't like, but he's got good numbers versus lefties so far.
I like Rosario. He's a good player.
He's a good player. I just don't know if I like him going up against Patty Corbs tonight.
I should say, I like him as much as a Philly fan is supposed to like a Met. That's what I meant. There are a couple other guys here. Gene Segura. If we're rocking with some Mariners tonight, right at the top of the lineup, only 3,300 on FanDuel. I don't get the Mariners prices today. Him, Segura, and Kyle Seager, both drastically underpriced. At least for Segura anyway, Seager's kind of in that price all the time, but Segura is a guy that's always near $4,000. So this is a huge discount on him today. Javi Baez is a guy whose price we saw up near $4,000 recently. He's only at 3,400 on FanDuel. Again, righties have been absolutely clobbering Bailey over the head this season. So this could be yet another great spot for the Cubs.
Yeah, don't discriminate on picking on Homer Bailey.
Paul DeJong, too. Guy, we were talking about some Cardinals earlier. He could be involved in the stack as well. 3,700, a lot more expensive than these other guys that mentioned here, but still in just as good of a spot.
I love the Cardinals stack tonight. Absolutely love it. I know Clayton Richard is a ground ball pitcher, and he could end up going out there and just shutting these guys down, but they're the hottest team in baseball. They're going to be under 10% owned tonight just because they're not in a massive ballpark or a hitter's ballpark or anything like that. And it's a 14-game slate. So I love – as far as tournament stacks, I think they are actually probably my favorite.
Whoa. I dig it. Now, I did not look at – I thought the total for that game was at 8.5, too, which I think will put a lot of people off, but – again, with all the numbers that we've given, it's at 8.5. Cardinals are -190 favorites tonight. So I like that kind of gets me up a little bit. But, again, that 8.5 is probably going to scare people away on a 14-game slate. And I for my betting friends, over. Much over. I dig it. All right. That's all I got for the shortstop position. A lot of good options there. Outfielders, plenty of them here.
Yeah, Dexter Fowler is the top. He's the top graded outfielder.
Really interesting. Yep. I believe he doesn't have the greatest BVP against Richard, but I did see him ranked pretty highly in other places as well.
Yeah, they moved him in that cleanup spot, and he is just absolutely like, he's always had a little bit of pop, but I don't know. He just, the Cardinals have found something with their lineup, where the top part of their lineup had always been the mess, all season long. The first thing that they had to fix was moving Matt Carpenter into the leadoff spot. They fixed that. The second thing they had to fix was getting somebody in that three hole that wasn't going to choke on their jock every time that they swung the bat. They fixed that. Now they've got a, I mean, with the way that Yachty's been hitting this year, I mean, when Jed Jerko is your six hole and he's got probably the most raw power on the team, that's polished. This is a potent lineup now, and it's not something that I'm afraid to stack, especially in St. Louis. I love Dexter Fowler. I love Tommy Pham. Like I said, they're my number one tournament stack of the night.
Nice. Wow, we got so many outfielders. Remember, again, JD Martinez, death taxes, and JD against lefties. It's going to be a fantastic night for him. You know, AJ Pollock, you could even go with in that same lineup there for the D-backs. I like him getting on base a ton tonight. I mean, of course, how could we forget about Mike Trout? You know, you and I both like some Angels tonight up against Tyson Ross. Going to be plenty of ducks on the pond. Turn that lineup over and over again for Trout. So, well, not only Trout, but the rest of the Angels. So I really like that a lot. And my goodness, we've got some other. I like the value on Josh Reddick tonight. 3,300 on FanDuel. He's got the matchup against Tanner Roark. Again,
I'll see your Josh Reddick.
Uh huh.
And I'll raise you a Kevin Kiermaier.
Okay. I enjoy some Kevin Kiermaier.
583 WOBA, 571 ISO versus right-handed pitching over the last 30 days.
Well, remember, Kiermaier just got back off the DL, and I believe he homered in his second game back. But still, I like Kiermaier. I don't even think
I did not realize that. That is my fault. That is one of the things that I can't discredit on. Now that we're doing 30-day numbers on the lineups page, it does not take into the fact that, you know, the at-bats that the grades go into.
Still a fantastic value, though. I mean, 2,900, oh, yeah. Going to be either leading off or hitting second for the Rays.
Probably going to be very low owned.
Indeed.
Not that you should have to worry about it. What did Trey Mancini end up doing last night? Do you remember?
I don't think anything.
Okay. Yeah, I think the offense for the Orioles was Jonathan Scope and Adam Jones. And I think Manny Machado had a run scored off of a fielder's choice or something, but that was about it.
Hold on real quick. I wanted to mention, I talked about Mike Trout, but also Cameron Maben, incredibly cheap on both sites, 2,300 on FanDuel, 3,500 on DraftKings. I had a lot of time yesterday, so I was able to look at some DraftKings prices. But again, he's a guy, if you do the domination station, where if you do 10 lineups, 3 uniques, Maben is in all 10 of those lineups. So that the system is placing a lot of emphasis on him tonight. But again, if we're talking about Angels turning the lineup over and over again, he's going to be their leadoff hitter. And, you know, he's probably, like, could very well get 6 at-bats tonight with the way the numbers look right now. So
to give you an idea
that cheap of a price
of how highly projected some of these Angels hitters are against Tyson Ross, FanDuel projections normally for a guy for like a Charlie Blackmon in Coors Field against a mediocre to bad pitcher normally tops out a FanDuel projection, okay, of 15.3. Mike Trout currently through our model is projected at a 17.
Mikey, I think we found a cover boy.
He is currently projected higher than Lucas Giolito and Marco Gonzalez.
Wow.
Who are pitchers. And barely below Chris Rowley.
Now, I know that you know, we mentioned Trout, mentioned Maben. How do they feel about Cole Calhoun? He's looked good at the plate recently.
There's so many outfielders. I'm trying to find them. Here, let's just go to the lineups page. I can do that. That's a lot easier. Right. I was trying to do through the position tab. Let's see here. They don't have it because the stinking freaking doubleheader. I'm looking. All right. I have to pull it up on my model. Hold on.
While you're looking anyway, I just want to mention Calhoun does have 3 homers in the last 5 games. I mean, whatever he's worked on since they got to Washington seems to be working out pretty well. But it seems like that was the turning point for him. And, you know.
Cole Calhoun is currently projected at 11.7.
Okay. Well, I was going to say with Calhoun last night, you know, he didn't really – he didn't keep the momentum going, but – you know, he faced Cole Hamels. I know he had a tough at bat last night against like a sidewinding lefty from the bullpen. But again, against Tyson Ross, he should get 2 at bats against him and make the most of it.
Yep, I agree.
All right, cool. Mentioned the Yankees outfielders, Aaron Judge, Aaron Hicks, both priced down on FanDuel. Judge, 3,800. You're probably not going to see him there against the lefty like ever again. So might as well take advantage of that. Kyle Schwarber was a good value on DK, I saw, at 4,100. Wouldn't be a bad one. Nicky Delmonico, 5 homers over the last 7 games. That's not bad. Jeff Samardzija actually has surprising BVP against Ryan Braun has surprising BVP against Samardzija. 11 for 23, 4 extra base hits, 3 of those homers, 4 walks. Now, again, I'm sure most of that damage was done at Miller Park, but, you know.
Average exit velocity. 99.2.
Jesus, my goodness. Who else you liking on this slate?
I mean, we can talk about Charlie Blackmon. We all know that he's a good. Don't forget about Nelly Cruz. He was out of the lineup yesterday, yep. Obviously. But he's a good one. Nomar Mazara versus Ricky Nolasco. Jay Bruce.
Hey, against Bruce.
Against Doug Fister. Have some interest there. Well, there's Cole Calhoun. I find him now. Adam Duvall against John Lackey. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to go. Byron Buxton versus Lucas Giolito. Last 30 days versus right-handed pitching, 373 ISO, or WOBA, 316 ISO. Make no mistake about it, he's actually starting to hit the ball. He just doesn't like April, May, June, July, or August. Or April, May, June, or July. I mean, he lives for August and September.
I mean, really, who needs those months anyway?
Yeah, no kidding, right?
My goodness. All right, we all done?
Yep, we're all done.
We are all done. Once again, don't forget to check out fantasyfootballevolution.com. Go there for your chance to win $25,000 in their World Football Championships. Use the promo code BOOMERSDADDY for free credits towards your lineups. Once again, fantasyfootballevolution.com. Also, once again, too, if you're not joined up with the DFS Army, do that as well. DFSArmy.com is where you find all those wonderful ads. You can use the promo code podcast for 20% off each month of your subscription, so certainly check that out. Gives you even more of a discount than it already is for the whole package. So check us out. And again, remember, football coming up, so a great time to get yourself acquainted with the Domination Station now that it's available for baseball. Very excited for all that. Keith, we will hear from you again next Monday. I know you're going to be away for the rest of the week, so me and Chopadong got the podcast on Friday. And again, Walsh's Wingman will be out about 5 o'clock Eastern time. And that's it. You'll have content for the afternoon slates on Wednesday and Thursday as well.
Yep, absolutely.
Any closing words?
Let's have some fun, and let's make sure this Domination Station just rocks it tonight, guys.
Indeed. Kick it off with a bang, baby. All right, yep. Me, Keith, and the rest of the DFS Army, we go.
Peace out.